Good morning and welcome to our service. We are studying today in the book of 1 John, and we are in our third in the series, and we are today going to be going through the book of 1 John, Walking with God, part 3 is the name of the message, and the main thing, the main idea today is walking in love. Again, the primary themes we've talked about so far in 1 John are in the first section. We talked about joy and the invitation from John to join us in the joy of the Lord. And then we talked last time about walking in the light and John's encouragement on us to be children of the light and to walk in the truth and walk in the light. This week, we're talking about walking in love. And so the word in 1 John today, we're going to start in chapter 3, verses 1, and we're going to go all the way through chapter 4 to the end in verse 19. So the first theme is children of God, which is where John is encouraging us to recognize our inheritance and who we are in Christ and how that relationship with him makes us God's children. So in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says this: "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God." So in this first section, basically we're in verses 1 through 4. Again, the demonstration is how much God loves us. In verse 1, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we're God's children because they don't know him." So again, John is saying our Father loves us. He calls us his children, not servants, not slaves, but children. That's what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we're God's children because they don't know him. "Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is." So again, we are created in the image of God, and Christ is our example. He's the one that came to this earth to show us what God was like and how God wanted to relate to us. So again, I can't emphasize it hard enough that John was an eyewitness of Jesus, and he knew Jesus' heart. And Jesus' heart for you and for me is that we would recognize that we really are God's children. So that's the first part of walking in love, is just recognizing that fact. All who have, in verse 3, "All who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God." So again, though we are God's children, though we have an inheritance in Christ, and though he desires above all else to have that father-child relationship with us, there is this problem of something called sin. Sin is that which gets in between us and our relationship with God. But in verse 5, the Lord provided, again, the remedy to the sin solution, the sin problem, I should say. "And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin, but anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is." Again, that poses a bit of a problem, because if you take it right off the top, it looks like those of us who sin, and I'm right in there, we are all sinners. It says if we keep sinning, that basically we don't know him. And what they mean here is a person who knows they're sinning and keeps walking in sin, choosing sin over Jesus. Again, cannot emphasize enough the need for repentance, the need for being washed in the blood of Jesus, the need to not only that, but to walk in the freedom from sin. Again, this is all provided for us through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, who gives us the power to live this godly life. Verse 7, dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Jesus Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. So again, we have the example of Christ. And so John here is emphasizing that that's how people know whether you're not, whether or not we're Christians, is by the example we live and the life we live, in that no, we're going to fall and make mistakes. We are going to sin, but we aren't sinners. In other words, once we recognize that we're in sin, we ask the Lord's forgiveness and ask for His Spirit to help us so that we don't continue in sin. So verse 7 says this, dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they're righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they're children of God. So now, here's the point, now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Okay, so the first section of this chapter, we were talking about walking in love and how the first thing is to acknowledge that we're children of God. The next thing is how we care for others. Caring for others is the next section, and that starts in 1 John 3:11-20. And this is where he says, this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. So the parallel that he's drawing here is with Cain and Abel, and I believe that's a picture of the war that's inside of us, the war of good versus evil. Cain, the unrighteous, and Abel, the righteous. Cain representing the world, Abel representing that which is spiritual and that which belongs to God. And so, again, John just says, don't be surprised if the world hates you, because guess what? We're not going to line up with them. We're not going to look like them. We're not going to walk and talk like them. We're going to be set apart. And so, again, that's going to cause us to be different. So verse 14 says, if we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. So again, just finishing the thought that hatred is equivalent of murder, and how the opposite of hatred is love, and how as Christians, that's distinguishing between us and everybody else, is how we love each other. And again, not by the words that we use, but by the actions that we show. Demonstration of otherworldly love is the things that Christians are expected to do because we belong to Christ. Things like, helping out financially, helping out with other things that come up with, taking care of children or things around the home. There just should be a different way that we interact with other believers than the world interacts with other, worldly folks. So in verse 16, it says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought also to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. So the word is again encouraging us to give up our lives. It means more than just passing over things lightly, more than a quick, hey, how you doing? God bless you. I love you. As we see each other in the hallway, it indicates there's an action behind it, that there's some way we demonstrate love by our actions. If someone has enough money, it says in verse 17, to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? And again, that plays out even to people that we see with the cardboard sign on the street corner that says hungry. You know, are we just going to throw them a buck? Or are we going to demonstrate love? You know, giving money is not always the best thing to do towards somebody who's in a bad way. Showing love is always going to be the right thing to do, whether we can give them money financially or buy them a dinner or even take them into our home if need be and get them a clean bath or something. But God is going to have us demonstrating our love in ways that the world can't comprehend. Verse 17 again, if someone has the resources, the money to live well and sees somebody in need and doesn't show compassion, it's challenging our faith. It's saying that how can God's love be in us? So verse 18, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth so that we will be confident when we stand before God. And that's what it's all about, confidence. We're leading up into that section now. The next section is section C in 1 John 3, really 20 through 24. Again, but to finish verse 20, it says, God is greater than our feelings. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. So the next section, talking about our confidence, section C in this lesson, is 1 John 3, 21 through 24. John says this, dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him, and he with them. And we know that he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. So again, key passage, the last part of chapter 3 here. If we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. The picture here that I see is Jesus. The picture you might see in your mind's eye. Maybe you've seen a picture portrait of Jesus with a bunch of children jumped up in his lap and a big smile on his face. Those kids have confidence before Jesus. They know that they'll not be rejected. They know that they are accepted for just as they are and who they are. But that's what we get with that confidence towards God by walking as his children, by living as his children, by loving one another. Again, we don't feel guilty. And this is, I'm going to start up in verse 21. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. And we will receive from him whatever we ask. Again, that's the prayer life. If we can walk before Jesus with a good heart, a clear conscience, and the boldness that comes from knowing that we're a full brother or sister, a joint heir, that says elsewhere in the word, with Christ, we can come to God with boldness and ask him the things that we want and need. Because we are pleasing to him, and he's going to want to please us. Verse 23. This is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him, and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. So this is the commandment. It says, verse 23, a commandment. This isn't a suggestion. It's not a request. It's a commandment. We must live and believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. So we've got to love God, believe in Jesus, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who obey the commandments remain in fellowship with him. So that would imply that it's possible not to remain in fellowship with God, that we can be apart from God and be separated from him, and that's what sin's all about. So, and it says the last line there in chapter 3, we know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. Again, we call that conscience. There's a lot of things named by it. The Spirit actually is bigger than your conscience. Your conscience is under your control. The Holy Spirit is one of the powers of God, one of the separate persons of God. So the Holy Spirit is living in us, working with our mind and working with our conscience, working with our spirit to be pleasing to God. And so that brings up section D, the fourth thing in this section, in this passage. And now we're in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, talking about allegiance to God, being faithful to God. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming into the world, and indeed is already here. So even at the stage of when John is writing, that the first century Christians, really the first people who were known as Christians, the first believers, already had false teachers, false prophets, and antichrists going around teaching false doctrine. So how much more so today do we have that problem to contend with? But the test is pretty easy. I believe we serve a simple God, a God that chose to send Jesus to simplify relationship with God, to simplify the law and the prophets, to summarize the law and the prophets in Jesus. So we have this God that wants relationship with us and wants us to be coming to him in simple, childlike faith. So how do you tell somebody who's not from Jesus? It's not from God, that isn't telling the truth. It just says, if that person claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. So today we have many groups out there that teach Jesus was a great guy, he was a good teacher, he was a prophet, he was all sorts of things, but the Son of God, God in human form, no, that's not Jesus. That's what they would teach. And so again, when anybody begins to stray away from the simple truth of the Trinity, the fact that there is Father, Son, and Spirit all in the person of God, that person is teaching a lie. And so that's what our flags and our radar is up for. So in verse 4, but you belong to God, my dear children. You already have won a victory over those people, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Those people who belong to this world speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. So again, simple godly teaching from simple godly people, from eyewitnesses, in this case John, the eyewitness of Jesus. And if people do not listen to this simple truth that John is teaching, they're not from God. And that's how we can tell, is that they reject the truth that is being taught by the apostles and the disciples, and actually of Jesus himself. So the fifth and final section, after the allegiance, again, being true to God's word and knowing the truth, is just God's love itself. The E section of our study is God's love, and that's 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. So the simple love of God will come through very clearly as we read this very beautiful but simple passage of Scripture, starting in verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loves us this much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Again, big test is love. It's the ultimate test, that if we're demonstrating God, if we're professing to be Christians, God's love will be coming through us to other people. And if that isn't happening, then we need to ask ourselves, what's wrong? It's a faith check time. If I can't demonstrate God's love, if I'm not demonstrating God's love, then there's an obstruction. There's something in the way preventing the love of God to flow through me. Again, it says, backing up in verse 9, God showed how much he loved us by sending Jesus into the world so that we could have eternal life through him. And it's the real love, the real life, is not that we love God, but that he loved us. So he loved us first, sent Jesus to take away our sins, providing for that complete and total freedom to call ourselves a child of God, Not a slave again, not a servant, although we are those things in different forms, but we are ultimately children of God. Verse 13, God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. So question, are we living like Jesus here in the world? Are we showing God's love and demonstrating his just complete and total perfect love? That's what God wants. He wants to be able to love the world through us. So again, that's our mission. That's our role. That's how people know that we belong to him. In verse 15, again, it says, all who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. So if we're living in God, Jesus is living in us, and the Holy Spirit is empowering us to live the Christ-like life, again, we'll have confidence in the day of judgment. It says, and as we live in God, in verse 17, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. Verse 18, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us. And I guess my hope is that you'll take this away, if nothing else from the message, that walking in love is what it's all about. I've seen an example, one picture comes to mind, I saw on television some years ago, of some young boy, probably 12, 13. He was standing on his school campus, and of course the media cameras were rolling, and he was shouting out condemnation on the people walking by. You're all going to go to hell if you don't turn to Jesus. And, you know, though it's true, there wasn't a whole lot of love being proclaimed. How better to proclaim God loves you and desires relationship throughout eternity with you, and all you have to do is turn from your current life apart from him, embrace life in him, turn away from your sins, walk in Jesus, live like Jesus, receive eternal life. So again, love has no fear in verse 18. We don't use fear to intimidate people into coming to Jesus. We use love to attract them like bees to honey to come to Jesus. Verse 20, if someone says, I love God, but hates a brother, a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. So again, this to summarize, we're in part three of our walk through the book of 1 John. And we talked through chapters 3 and 4 today. And basically summarizing, the first thing we talked about was in verses 1 through 10 of chapter 3, that we're children of God. That through what Jesus did, through the price he paid to buy us forgiveness and to give us his righteousness, we can call ourselves children of God. No longer servants, but friends, as Jesus said. The next thing in 3:11 through 20 was about caring for others, demonstrating God's love. Not just letting our talk be our faith, but letting our actions prove our love and our faith towards God by how we care for other people, how we show his love. The third thing in chapter 3, verses 21 through 24, was confidence. We have confidence in Jesus because he loved us first. And the demonstration of the Holy Spirit coming to live in us, to seal us, to guide us, to direct us, and to help us along this very difficult and challenging walk of faith in walking like Christ. We can do that with confidence because we've been given that gift of the Holy Spirit through Jesus' gift of his sacrifice. The fourth thing was allegiance. We have to be true to God's word. We have to allow God's word to be true in us and come through us to be truth to others. So again, the allegiance is basically being true to God and being true to his word, and that's in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And finally, maybe the most important thing, the asterisk or the exclamation point, I should say, is God's love. In chapter 4, verses 7 through 21, is the classic 1 John 4, 7 and 8, where it just says basically that we're to love one another because that love comes from God. And anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Again, that love that is God has to be evident in our lives, and that's how people will know who we are. And that's our confidence, again, finishing up towards the end of the chapter, basically in verse 17, where it says, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So that's the trick, is we're not perfect today, we're not going to be perfect tomorrow, but today I hope I'm living a little bit more like Jesus than I was yesterday. And tomorrow, God willing, I'll be a little bit more like him tomorrow than I was today. And I think that's the prayer. And even as we sang the song Step by Step today, Step by Step is exactly how it's done. Step by step, you'll lead me and I'll follow you all of my days. That's all that God expects, is that we would give ourselves grace, if you will, to not condemn ourselves and to live in that step-by-step faith and that step-by-step grace of a daily walk with Jesus. So I hope you've enjoyed this message to this point, and next time we'll be finishing up 1 John and we'll be talking about walking by faith. So thank you and be blessed.